This is AJ Sound Booth, the podcast.
I'm Antonia Jones. Music, entertainment, arts, culture. Phoenix
FM. AJ Sound Booth.
AJ Sound Booth.
As well, so I've got three generations of transport workers in my family, and the guy that I was speaking to, Leroy, said to me the museum would be really interested in hearing about your story, so why don't you get in contact with them? So I did so, and they were interested in the story, and also told them that I had a pocket watch which my granddad was given when he first joined London Transport, and many bus drivers were given them. So because we had kind of a special object in the family, the museum obviously took a natural interest in trying to, I guess, understand a bit of the story behind it.
My background is my mum was one of the canteen ladies in the 70s that worked in Savile Bus Garage before it closed down. I've been there over 32 years. So it's really good to celebrate and highlight the Windrush generation in this way and keep that hidden history alive, you know, for generations to come.
And as I walked around the museum, I was greeted by the carnival exhibition and lots of photography, films as well, from the workforce who had been in Transport for London or London Transport at the time. And just seeing the document of that and the music, I just felt the atmosphere, the whole feel. So welcome Ashley Mayers and Gloria George. To AJ Sound Booth, we're talking about the Legacies London Transport's Caribbean Workforce Exhibition today. I actually came down to Friday Lates and it was an amazing experience for me. So I know that both of you have been part of this, and it would be great just to find out how you got involved in it and also your dealings with London Transport as well and your connections there as well. So Ashley, welcome.
Thank you.
And also Gloria.
Welcome. Thank you.
Good to be here. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
No, anytime. So let me give us like some insight into how you got involved in the museum exhibition, Ashley.
Okay. So I'm a customer experience manager at TfL, and I primarily work to improve things for customers. So I manage a number of projects, and back in 2019, I was speaking to a gentleman who works with TfL for a long time, and he happened to be from Barbados, and my family are from Barbados, my dad's side of the family. So we had a conversation about Barbados, and I told him that my granddad was a bus driver in London for 30 years, and that my dad also worked for a bus operator for about 7 or 8 years in the mid-90s. And now I work in buses as well. So I've got three generations of transport workers in my family. And the guy that I was speaking to, Leroy, said to me, the museum would be really interested in hearing about your story. So why don't you get in contact with them? So I did so, and they were interested in the story. And also told them that I had a pocket watch, which my granddad was given when he first joined London Transport, and many bus drivers were given them. So because we had kind of a special object in the family, the museum obviously took a natural interest in trying to, I guess, understand a bit of the story behind it. And so, yeah, that was how I got involved, got in contact with the museum, and they were interested to hear more. So,
and the rest is history.
It is
making history.
Yeah,
that's how, yeah, I see it. And as I walked around the museum, I was greeted by the carnival exhibition and lots of photography, films as well, from the workforce who had been in Transport for London or London Transport at the time. And just seeing the document of that and the music, I just felt the atmosphere, the whole feel. And so Gloria, how's it been for you? You're part of the RACE network and some other networks within TfL. So tell us about that.
Right, so I'm chair for Raising Awareness of Culture and Ethnicity Staff Network Group, which is for Black, Asian, minority staff. I became chair last year, but we relaunched in 2018. And I'm also part of the member of the advisory board for the TfL Museum for staff of TfL staff of Caribbean Heritage. And when the museum approached us, our group, to say, can we sort of like reach out to our staff and talk about our experiences in TfL and our legacy, I was really proud to say, yeah, I'm going to jump on board and I'm going to get involved. And we had a few other staff that got involved to tell their stories. And And my background is my mum was one of the canteen ladies in the 70s that worked in Savile Bus Garage before it closed down. So that was my connection. I've been there over 32 years. So it's really good to celebrate and highlight the Windrush generation in this way and keep that hidden history alive, you know, for generations to come and to show they've paved the way for us today.
And what does it mean to you, Ashley, to be part of the exhibition? I know you've gone into the story about the three generations, and I remember just walking past the audio piece and listening and hearing you speaking and some members of your family. And to see your, you know, so to speak, your face up in lights, and to represent the wider community and what we have brought culturally. I say we because my heritage is from the Caribbean as well.
Right.
So it was really nice to celebrate that as I walked into the museum. So what does it mean to you to be part of that for the generation that's coming after you?
It's a real sense of pride. So I've been to the museum, obviously, and looked at the exhibition a couple of times. And just to, first of all, see my granddad's face. He's sadly not alive anymore. He passed away in 2004, rest his soul. But to see his face up there in that museum, and I've said to Gloria and I've said to so many other people, when I talk about the exhibition, it's great that we're able to carry that legacy on, but it's not really about us. It's about the contribution and the sacrifices that people that came from the West Indies made, because it was such a troublesome and difficult time. And that's one of the things that I think Gloria and her team's contribution is massive, because we want to tell real stories. So whilst people have helped the transport network run after the war effort, you know, they've also made huge sacrifices in what they've done. And so I think it's important that we give a true reflection of the experiences of the people that came to London, because a lot of people were told, you know, the streets are going to be paved with gold and it's going to be wonderful and you're going to be welcomed in open arms. And we know that it was far from the truth. So I think it's good that the exhibition celebrates the contributions, but it also truly reflects some of the stories and the hardships that people had to go through. So, yeah.
And also for you, Gloria, just to kind of find a detail of your involvement with staff at the moment, with the different networks that you're running, what has been the feedback from staff of all cultures so far?
Right, they've been saying it's really interesting. A lot of them didn't realise that, you know, after World War II, of how many staff came over, and the fact that TfL was the first, well, Transport for London was the first company to literally recruit from the West Indies in 1956. And it wasn't just about station staff and bus conductors. They also did the maintenance side of it and the infrastructure. And a lot of the staff that didn't want to talk up and tell their stories, they're really now excited to actually tell their stories and say, you know, it's really nice, that appreciation. I've got a staff that he's done 40 years and he's still in the underground, celebrated 40 years last year, and his mum done 40 years and she's still alive today, and that's 80 years. And what we was proud of, the TfL commissioner came on our Windrush day and he thanked them for their service. And when we had the LT exhibition, we was talking to a couple of the older generation, this 90-year-old guy, and he was blown away that the commissioner came and heard his story and he was telling his experience. And, you know, and we do, like, on our Yammer page, we did some videos of the exhibition, and they're loving it from all cultures right across. And everyone said, no, we're going to take our kids there and they're going to learn that bit of history. So it was really good. It's good insight.
Yeah, and that's pretty much how I felt when I walked in. There was so much to see. There was the steel pans going on, but I kind of shied away from that because I thought, no, I'm not going to embarrass myself and play that. But it was nice to see the public getting involved, and also the cross between the tiara making, the music, the food, the whole atmosphere, and just seeing the culture celebrated. And I felt really proud myself just to see that. And the workforce, and one thing that I really took away was that the workforce have contributed immensely to Transport for London as it is today. And if it wasn't for the, you know, the Caribbean community coming over, then there might have been a gap, as well as other communities who've probably taken part as well. But that was just really amazing to see. Then I think about the culture that they brought to the UK as well. Was there over 6,000 people who had been recruited?
No, it wasn't. Yeah. It was a big number.
It was,
because
yeah.
you've got to think they came over time. From 1956 to 1970.
Yes.
So that was a lot of, you know, that was a lot of Caribbean staff and Caribbean, you know, community coming over to England.
Yeah.
Even though they was faced with a lot of hostility, you know, they still came, you know, and I reflect back at my parents and the hardship they went through and the door slamming in their faces. And the story, there's a little story I tell when I do my presentation. So Lord Kitchener at the time, he was the Michael Jackson of my parents' generation and your grandparents' generation. And so Lord Kitchener came over and he was singing, you know, London's the place for me and it's welcoming. So what people don't realise, a lot of Caribbean landed in Liverpool because that's where a lot of my parents are. That's where my family's parents are. And they came to London because they was listening to Lord Kitchener. They're thinking, yeah, we're coming to London. This is the place.
We want some of
you know,
that.
And
yeah.
Then, yeah. And then when they got there, it was like no coloured, no Irish, no dogs.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, no gypsies, you know, and then it was keep Britain right, you know, and it was hard. You know, and I always say if they didn't have faith and they didn't have their music, I don't think they would have been that resilient, but that's what kept them going. It's their strong faith and, you know, and the music kept them going because that's what helps us, even me, distress now. Have a hard day at work, you go put on your music and just play it and you just chill. So, you know.
Definitely. So, and there's also been like lots of documentaries as well about the Windrush generation and those who've come after the Windrush generation, what's happened and the communities. And I've seen quite a few films about it. And as you say, music is definitely one of the things that have kept everyone going. And also the community spirit as well, keeping together. And it must have been really difficult coming to a country, expecting to see streets of gold. And I've heard that from family members as well.
Yeah.
And they get here and then some are crammed into smaller rooms. Just watching a documentary, how the milkman would bring along the bread and throw it on the doorstep and things like that. I'm just like, wow, you know, it's completely different for us now.
Yeah.
But just the kind of takeaway from that, the narrative for me, again, is what contribution has been made and it has been amazing. And that's one thing that I'm proud of myself.
Yeah. And I don't think that's a point that you can labour too much, to be honest with you, because especially when you think from like a musical perspective, how much black culture has influenced music today is just, it's mind blowing. You know, you think about reggae and how it's sampled in house music and how hip hop is sampled in house music and so on and so forth. So that influence is really can't be overstated.
No, definitely. Yeah. Totally agree.
Yeah, and you got to think, Lovers Rock was born in England and people keep forgetting that.
Yes, you know, I heard that.
Janet Kay was the first black artist to go on the BBC and sing and play and with her hit Silly Games.
Yes, that, you know, that, and, that song is just...
Yeah, it's iconic now, isn't it?
I'm not going to try and sing it.
You know, and people have got to realise that. Those days, it was, you hardly saw black people on TV. So when it was just, everyone would say, look, there's black people on TV, and everyone would rush to the TV and get all excited. You know, and they take it for granted
now.
You know, and I think if kids know about the legacy and the struggles, they may appreciate what they've got more. You know, and I've always said that if you give them their history and they know who they are, then they'll be proud of who they are and it'll make that much difference, you know, in society.
And also in the kind of the educational pack as well that the exhibition has, I've noticed that schools and young people can learn about the exhibition. And that's a great thing, especially I know there's Black History Month, but it's nice to have this all year round. And as you mentioned earlier, that the exhibition goes on for 2 years.
Yeah.
So that's amazing to know. And I'm just thankful for TFL for actually putting this on because they have made history and are continuing to make history.
But it was nice if they have it longer, though. That's what I keep saying.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm rooting for it to be longer because history is history. It should be there. So each generation comes along will see that history because every year there's a child being born. Every year there's another year that needs to learn about the history. Mm. So it shouldn't really stop at 2 years, you know. TFL is part of the Caribbean legacy of the Windrush generation, and I think that should always be marked.
And then also for young people as well, and for any adults, as you said, Ashley, you came forward before. There's always stories to tell. There'll be many stories to tell, so that will never die down.
Mm. Yeah, 100%.
Definitely. So also for you, Ashley, in terms of the kind of strong narrative, what have you taken away from the three generations of your family members, including yourself, being in this whole exhibition?
Well, first of all, from a personal level, just a bit of a funny story. So I think that there's a real sense of like good geographical sense in my family. And so what I mean by that is my granddad was a bus driver and he had to learn the bus routes, but that also gave him like really good navigational skills. So he would go somewhere once, drive and remember the way. You know, in those days you didn't have sat navs or anything like that. People used to use A to Z's to get around and what have you. And so that kind of filtered down to my dad, where he's really good at, he would drive somewhere and he would just get it and know it. And I've got that. And now my daughter has that as well. So that's just like a little, I don't know, like a little family trait that's kind of just, yeah.
Just pick up directions.
Yeah,
like
I do. Yeah, I really do. Yeah.
I do actually know someone who's really good with routes as well. So that's good. It's in the genes.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I'm so good with the actual bus routes themselves. But
just in general. Yeah. So then you are the customer experience manager, aren't you?
Yeah,
so
I am.
Then,
yeah.
You know, that goes to show. So tell us a bit about that and how you've been received as well by your colleagues. Have you been in the exhibition?
Really positively. So my team in TFL do a lot to promote diversity and equality. You know, it's always something that it's always on the agenda of our team meetings, and it's something that's at the forefront, which is good. So it kind of it shows everybody that we're taking it serious, and it's not just something that we talk about, you know, for Black History Month. It's a topic for then and it goes away. So but in terms of how it's been received, I mean, I've got a team trip planned. So on the 4th of May, my team are going to go down to the exhibition and we're going to see it in the flesh. There are probably about 15 or 16 of us that will go, which is good. And we also, I was able to put a little piece about it in my team's newsletter as well. So we do a monthly newsletter, which kind of just gives people a bit of an update around people's backgrounds, what's going on from a work perspective, you know, social activities and what have you. So I just reached out to the people who pulled a newsletter together and just said that I'm part of this exhibition. Could we feature it in the newsletter, just to kind of spread the message, really, because we want as many people as possible to go and see it. So yeah,
that's an amazing thing to know. And in terms of the work that you're doing with like any young people, how's that working as well?
So yeah, for me personally, good. I was involved in at TFL. We have I don't know if it's the correct terminology anymore, but we have a what we call a BAME apprenticeship scheme, where people from Black, Asian and ethnic minority backgrounds can actually come and join TFL and rotate. And I was involved in some of the interviewing processes for that before the pandemic kicked in, you know, just to try and encourage people to get involved in transport and let them know that there's a career for them if they want it. So yeah,
that's amazing. Mm. Good to know as well, because then again they look at what work has been done and it's all about the kind of promotion. Mm. And that helps to reflect the community, especially for young people or those who want to join the organization.
It does. Yeah, I mean, this scheme specifically focused on people in jobs in like press, PR and marketing, because people from diverse backgrounds are quite underrepresented in those professions. And so yeah, it really encourages people to come forward and actually try and make careers for themselves in that industry. So yeah, all good.
And also for you, Gloria, for the future, I know you talk about the exhibition lasting more than 2 years. What would you like to see
in terms of the exhibition,
how it has evolved now? What would you like to see for the future for an exhibition of this kind?
I think the exhibition is a snapshot of some of the experience of some of the staff. And we've got, I think, 50% of the staff is from a Caribbean background. So there's so much more stories that can be told in the exhibition. And it'd be nice to invite other members to tell their stories, because in London Underground, you've got, like Ashley, 4 generations in there of staff. And, you know, it's nice to hear their background as well. So I think that would really be good. And with the community, we've done a bit about carnival, but I don't think we touch on the carnival side enough, because the carnival is not just about exhibition. It's about the whole journey. We used to go on the transport, and you know, it was all about the excitement of going on the train and getting off the train, and and they've got to think about this staff that have to come out and man the stations, and that side we haven't actually touched on. You know, like, get, you know, like, because I remember when I was young, you know, the excitement was going to get on the train to get off at Grove with your costume and your whistle in. and I don't think we've highlighted some of that experience, and because we haven't done carnival for 2 years, it would be nice to capture that memento. And saying that's leading on to the late night that we are doing on the 17th of June. We are doing a kind of carnival experience because it's a Caribbean journey, and that one goes more into about the carnival, but it's just a moving exhibition, I call it. So it's not something that's going to be nice if they videotaped it and put it on one of the videos that they talk about, so they can see that a bit more, and I think that would be nice. So there's all these other areas that we can explore to keep it going more than 2 years.
Yeah, and then as you talk about the 30 years of you being at TFL, it'll be interesting to find out more about that.
My 30 years.
Yes, I'm intrigued. We've touched the surface now, but I really want to find out more about that and your experience as a Caribbean growing up and working there and how it has been for you.
Right, so... So I started in 1989, and that year, between 1989 and 1990, there was a massive recruitment campaign. So a lot of staff, we all joined at that time. So I started in clothing stores in textiles, which was in Chiswick Works, which is now a park. And the Chiswick Park, it used to... Don't know if you know about the Bill years ago. There was a series called The Bill. Oh, yes. They used to film there a lot outside where we used to work in Chiswick Park. And then in 1990, I joined the Passenger Service Directorate, which I worked there for 5 years with the now Commissioner Andy Byford, and my team was with Ian Arthurton, who is one of the trustees for the LT Museum as well, and Dawn Brannigan, Ben Harding and Di Montesino. It was a small but busy team. And then from there, I went over to, I was part of the launch of our emergency response unit with Jim Winters. I worked there for a little while when they launched it. And then I went into training, and I've been in training ever since. And when I first started training, I'll give credit to TFL, because when the Windrush generation came over, a lot of them weren't educated, but they know how to do their job. And then obviously computers came in, courses came in, they needed to pass the courses to keep their jobs going. And yeah, they could do their jobs with their eyes closed. But when it came to the classroom, you know, I was on that project to say, you know, some of them, you know, can't read and write properly, and that's the struggle. So rather than them sack them and think, right, you can't do your job anymore, because, you know, they actually started doing English. I don't know if you're aware of that. They started to do English and maths lessons.
I didn't
and
know
I
that,
was
no.
part of that. And I thought, give credit to them, you know. I mean, it wasn't just the Caribbean. There was quite a few, you know, from other ethnic backgrounds that couldn't read and write properly because sometimes it wasn't their first language, you know, and they just needed to just do X and get their pay, you know. And they educated them. And a lot of them do start talking about how, you know, they weren't educated and they got educated through TFL. And a lot of people don't realise. And I was part of that project and I was quite proud of that because they came to me, you know, to say, can I reach out to them? And I said, yeah, because they're proud people at the same time, because back home, they just had a skill.
Yeah.
You know, some of them were educated, but some just had a skill, you know? So they reached out to me and I said, that's what it was. And we did something about it. And I was so, you know, I was so proud of them, of TFL for doing that, you know, and they gave me a nice letter as well to say, you know, thanks for getting involved and highlighting it. And that's how we started to do English and maths. And then, I was, the first aid and, safety manager when we were one company, because with my journey obviously we went through all the different stages. So it was one company, then we went through the infracos and we went privatized. So there was BCV, SSL and subsurface. So I was with Metronet Rail. Metronet Rail, and then we went back into TFL. So you know, I don't know if you heard the legacy, they all went bank, you know, they went into administration. Did you know that now?
I didn't know.
Yeah, they went into administration and, Tube Lines. Sorry, it was Tube Lines was the other line. And then they all came back in-house. So they all, you know, so we're back as under the umbrella of TfL. And then TfL became the bigger area where it was London Underground. We had all the other substations. We had the overground taxi service. So literally keeping London going, all transport became under Transport for London. And then we went through a few big changes. We had Value in Times, but now we're into our new one, which is, can't remember the values, it's Caring. You should know, it's your area.
I'm getting a lesson right now.
We're listening attentively. It's all about working together.
It'll come to us, the new values. But I know it's caring.
The visions and values thing. Yeah.
So it's Value in Time, and now we're into the visions and values. So I am proud to be part of that change as well, because I'm one of the six staff network groups, and we're helping shaping to make sure it's fairer and more diverse. And so it's a company that reflects London, basically. And so I'm part of that journey, being in training and being as chair for SSNG. And we highlight other events. So I've, through my training, it was easier to get in contact with staff and know what they want, and to get that vision. And when staff are coming to do training from operational and signalling training, because they forget that everyone just thinks, oh, you work for underground, you drive the train or you drive the buses. But there's the background where when you put a new system in the underground, you've got to get trained. So in Acton, we've got dummy tracks. We've got all the Northern Line upgrade, Victoria Line upgrade. We've got like dummy control centres actually at Acton. It's amazing what they've done in there. And, you know, so they train it. And that's like the forgotten side that people forget about, the training side. And we saw a couple of years ago the first black signal trainer, who started at the same time as me, and he's now the first black signal trainer, which in, you know, I always say, yes, it's good, but there should be more. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, so I do enjoy working for transport. Promotional wise, it's hard to move up the grade, because there's not a lot of people senior producing that look like us, but they are moving in the right direction now, you know, and that's a good thing, you know, because before we was just there, but now we are starting to see progress and see managers of diversity in different areas. So I'm enjoying being the chair and pushing that objective.
And I was speaking to a guest the other day, and she made a track about the imposter syndrome. And it's really important, because as figures, I would say, I've watched a film called Hidden Figures before, and it talks about, you know, the aerospace industry and the contribution that black females have made as well.
And
it's just interesting to know, being in a prominent position, like, how hard is it, or challenging can it be at times for yourself? And what would you say to anyone who is aspiring as a career woman?
I would always say, be true to yourself. Always try and don't give up, because I don't give up. Everyone knows me. If I want something, I will keep going and going and going. You know, because when you give up, that's the easiest option. If you keep going, then eventually you will get that result. And that's what kept me going. That and my faith. I always say everyone my faith. When they said you can't, I said I can. I go home, I pray about it, I come back, and they said, I don't know how you changed the manager's mind, but they said yes now. And that's how I've always been. I've always been that way. I've always been that pushy.
Yes.
Even with the Stephen Lawrence's Foundation, we're doing a collaboration with them this year, and we're hoping to do it for many years to come, because I think it's a really good cause. And when we first approached him, we said, we want to do T-shirts together. I went, nah, I don't know about that. So I said, okay. Because I don't think, you know, Baroness Dorwin's going to go with that. I said, okay. So I said, I will send you some information. So I done a sample of what the T-shirts would look like. I wrote to her and said, look, this is what we do and this is what we want to help you. And she goes, wow. She goes, she turned around, she said, yeah, it's fine, we'll do that collaboration. You know, so hopefully next year we'll be doing T-shirts. This year we're just doing the badges because of time frame, and it's the 22nd of April.
Yes.
You know, so that's the kind of things that we do in Race SNG. We do events to highlight diversity and to help with racism and teaching the young kids, really. And Stephen Lawrence's foundation, that's what they do, you know. And you've got to give credit, you know, to Baroness Doreen for what she's done, yeah, through such a sad, you know, situation. Mm. Because he was our George Floyd, that's what I always say.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, so well done to her.
And it's amazing cause as well, and that you've highlighted that as well, and also the work outside of the exhibition that's going on. And a lot of organisations do that, and it's part of their corporate social responsibility, and I think it's very important. And for you, Ashley, as well, and you've come to TFL and you're aspiring manager, and I'm sure you're going to continue to aspire. For you, about the story from your generation, what has been your major kind of key takeaway, like every day to live by, what your grandfather had gone through and learning, like what he had experienced? How has that impacted you?
I think it's, there's kind of a thread of perseverance in my family. So I guess you could say it's a bit of an old school mentality, but it's just kind of like Gloria said, like, just don't give up. Don't take no for an answer, and don't let anyone take you for a fool. That's something that's always stuck with me. And my dad's the same. My dad's the same. He's a strong-minded man. And I am as well, you know. So I think things are, you know, times are definitely easier now for people from diverse backgrounds. I couldn't claim to have had it as difficult as my granddad, nowhere near, or my dad. So things are definitely changing, but I think there's still a long way to go. But I think having that kind of, yeah, that thread in my family of just stick at it, just persevere. I think that's the one thing that I've definitely taken.
And also highlighting the exhibition in itself, again, that's a platform and another example of great work that people of colour have brought to the UK.
Yeah.
And it's important to represent and to also showcase where we can. And there's so many different messages that come away with that, or key takeaways. But it's all about celebrating every culture.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's important to do that. And I'm just happy. And as I said, really proud to have seen it, because in my lifetime, I've never seen that before.
Mm.
So yeah, it's nice to see that and to learn, and that you can continue to learn from these experiences. But for me, it's more about what happened to the workforce when they came to the UK and what they experienced. And like now for us, what we have experienced as well, just as generations. And I would definitely say it was probably much harder than it is for us now.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I don't think it's comparable. No. I really don't. You know, we obviously know racism is still alive and well, but I don't think it's as, you know, it's not as prominent as it was back then. And it's certainly not as overt as it was back then as well. You know, someone would call you a name to your face without thinking, second thinking about it. It would just be the done thing. So yeah, it's definitely, times are changing, but there's still a long way to go and a lot of work to do.
And also it's good that organisations have the diversity training in place. Mm. You obviously know about the conscious bias and
yeah,
and all of the different training programmes to encourage people to learn about other cultures. And I think it's more about the lack of understanding and ignorance, so to speak. Mm. If we don't know much about a culture, then it's all about learning rather than coming out with statements. It's usually learned behavior, and it's important that that's highlighted and that everyone learns and celebrates one another.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is why we changed our name. Our staff network would have been the old Black Asian Minority, because we don't really like to say BAME now. We're trying to move away from
change.
And that's why we called it a Raising Awareness of Culture and Ethnicity Staff Network Group, because it's about your culture that makes you different rather than the colour of your skin.
Mm. Definitely.
And that is what we promote now. It's about that. And it's about that lived experience as well.
And on this podcast, we celebrate music, our different exhibitions and much more. And culture, as you say, isn't about colour. It's your lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
what you do in the community. It's how you live. It could be from, you know, a practice. You might go to the mosque once a week or five times a week. It might be a practice of how you cook your food.
Yeah, yeah. Food's definitely in there. Food's definitely in there.
And that's one thing. When I think about the culture again of the workforce brought to the UK, what I see now, the different restaurants, the food. I was talking to a colleague today and they're not from the Caribbean, but they are experiencing the Caribbean culture by tasting food that one of my other colleagues was making them and bringing in. And I thought, sounds so it was salmon, rice and peas and macaroni.
You're like, making me hungry.
It's like I had an experience at work. I remember I introduced food to my white colleagues as well, and they've never tasted curry goat. And they goes, what's curry goat? I said, okay, because I do charity work. I do work for children in need. I always do it every year. And you know, so I said to them, I'll bring in the food, just put money for charity. And so I made them rice and peas. I made them curry goat, fried chicken, coleslaw and roti. And they literally licked the pot. They literally, they went, wow, you know, and so, you know, so it's nice to give them that taste. And then it always reminds me of a bit, like you said, with your history with your parents. Mine was my mum. My mum was a cook. She worked in the canteen for London Buses. She used to make sweet potato pie and she used to make other dishes because then in London Underground, in the canteens, there wasn't a set menu, so they can cook. The women used to cook, the West Indian women used to cook whatever food they wanted you to cook, you know, but now it's a set, you know, recipe. So back in the days, it was so nice with the food that we had,
and that helped bring communities together, didn't it? By the food.
Yeah.
And you could put anyone could be arguing, but if you put food down,
it's the icebreaker.
What was your mum's journey like then, being in the canteen day to day? What was her experiences that stuck out to you mostly?
To be honest, there's a couple of things. So because she used to do the sweet potato pudding. Obviously, when she used to do it, the days used to come, I always remember we had to grate the sweet potato because back in the days we didn't have blenders. So now she said, oh, you had to be sore because you've got it right. And I think, oh no, she's making that today. But when we got to the canteen and we saw the guys and they just, you know, like just love, you know, like there was just queuing up. Said, oh, she's bought, the, you know, they were in. It was just amazing to see, you know, of all cultures coming up and having the pudding. And that way you kind of thinking in your head, oh, it's worth it. And I see why she did it for. Do you know what I mean? It was a nice, that was a nice time. And I don't know if they still do it in the canteens, but then you used to have the guys when in the breakout rooms, like in the mess room, and they'll play dominoes and that lot, you know, because that's a bit of Caribbean.
That sound of dominoes.
You always remember in the background when you guys just sit in the corner because then you were allowed to come in, you know. Now you couldn't even go bring your kids into the canteen, and I'd sit in the corner and you'd just hear them knocking the dominoes and eating the food. And it was such a lovely atmosphere then. And we had a lot of social clubs and everything then. And we had cricket clubs, you know, that's in the exhibition. They show a bit about the cricket clubs and the social events, you know. That's the kind of thing it'd be nice if they can bring back. And that's what I want to try and bring back within the staff network group. And we had different leagues as well from different stations. It used to be so good. So they did have some good times as well within the London Underground, you know. And, you know, it's just a shame they've closed down most of the social clubs we had, because we had quite a few social clubs and they shut most of them down and they don't do the leagues. We even had netball league that my friends used to do. I didn't do that, but it was just all good. It just kept the community together.
It definitely did. So food and music as well.
It's
just a long living legacy, which is the perfect name for the exhibition. So Ashley, you have been to the exhibition how many times
have I been? I've been, I want to say three times. I've been three times. So I did, there was a media day that we attended. There was a private viewing that I attended with my wife and my mum and my dad. And then I also took my kids to the exhibition in half term a few weeks ago as well. Yeah, five or 6 weeks ago.
So free time. So I'm going to ask you about your different experiences each time. Yeah. So you must have picked up something different to walk through, not to give away too much because we want the listeners to go.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, you know, all right. One of the things that I was going to mention actually was the London Underground cricket team throughout the 70s and the 80s, because there's actually a piece about them. And obviously, you know, cricket is massive in the West Indies, like one of the biggest sports. But there's a really interesting story about the London Underground cricket team, part of the exhibition. So I won't give the story away because I want people to go and see it. But yeah, you could learn a lot. So, I mean, when I went there with my parents and by myself, I was able to really soak it up and take it in. Obviously I took my kids there and they're young, so they're 9 and 7, so it was a bit of a different experience because they were kind of all over the place and we didn't get to stop.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it was during half term as well, so it was really busy. There were loads of kids everywhere, but the exhibition was busy. That was the good thing. Like when I went there, I think it was a Wednesday, and it was a really, you know, we went in late afternoon and it was really, really busy, and there was loads of attention on the exhibition, which is great, you know. So
no, it's really good to know that. You know, so what did your children think about it?
They were amazed. Yeah, they were like, oh, daddy's there. And like, so my dad is their granddad, but they don't call him granddad, they call him B, and we don't know where it came from.
We don't know
where that came from, but he's just called B. So they saw, because basically the museum sent a photographer to my house to take a picture of part of the exhibition, as you would have seen it there. And my kids come and had a look at it. They said, oh, there's Daddy and there's B. So they were amazed to see it. And obviously their great-grandfather, my granddad Kenneth, there's a picture of him there as well. So, yeah.
It's quite kind of like you have become the star of the family as well.
Well, yeah.
And it was so interesting. Sorry, is you going to say?
No, I was going to say, I don't know if I'm the star of the family, but yeah.
But as I walked in, I was actually drawn to the carnival piece. And then I remember seeing the audio and seeing your story. So I was drawn to that. And it was really interesting how it transpired, how you're both sitting here as well today.
Yeah.
And then I also walked past the seminar that was going on. And couldn't get in because it started. But it's interesting to know that both of you were just actively involved in it. And it's just great to know that you've been involved and that you were just, you know, you've got the story to tell for years to come.
I think one of the things that's really important to mention about the exhibition is that, Gloria, you could probably speak about this more than I could, but there was a lot of input from the advisory board so that it truly reflected and represented, it was accurate. Basically, it wasn't just TFL saying this is what we think we should put into the exhibition, you know. It was stories that came from, you know, the people like
staff.
Us but it was actual staff and the advisory board, who Gloria's a chair of and sits on, you know, heavily input into that. So there was, you know, yeah, I guess what I'm saying is it wasn't just TFL coming up with their own ideas around what they think it should be. It was, you know,
asked the staff.
Exactly. And that's it. Yeah, exactly.
So the creators were in the meetings and they listened to our stories and we sent in our pictures. And so they literally worked with us. So they didn't, you know, so it was our story, which was nice. And then every step of the way, they showed us, this is what we're doing. What do you think? This is what we're doing. And it came to life. Because I'm also in there in the carnival bit, because I used to drive the van that I used to get from TFL to take the elderly to carnival. And there's bit with me in the van. I don't know if you saw it, the TFL distribution services.
No.
There's a van.
We're finding out a lot today.
I'm literally in the corner with some of my band members, because I was in a band called Majestic 64. Uh-huh. And we're literally there on the corner, there's a van, and then I'm literally holding the poster because we did the Windrush as well. Our theme was Windrush that day, and we had the hats.
Okay.
And I'm literally holding the banner up because I'm Guyanese, so my Guyanese flag is holding up.
Yeah.
But it's just in the corner by where the tiara is, just underneath there.
Well, I'm going back.
Yeah.
I'm going back with my team on the 4th of May.
Yeah, so,
I'll check it out for sure. Yeah.
Something else for you to look out for as well. So the legacy that your family members have left behind for future generations, what would you say that would be?
I'm on the spot now.
I feel like
I'm on the spot. Have you got an answer to hand, Gloria?
Yeah,
because they had such a huge impact. And sometimes, just in general, we could be working in the workplace or contributing to whatever project it might be.
Like, yeah, I mean, I would say when you, as you were speaking then, I think the thing that that comes to mind is like, you never know what you can achieve. Like, could you imagine if you or I had to go and work in, I'm going to make up a random place now, Iceland, you know, and it was like, okay, you're going to go and pave a 30-year career and start a family and, you know, and build a home and thrive amongst all the adversity that you had to endure. Like, it is literally unthinkable. It's yeah, literally it's unthinkable. Yeah.
So, you know, I think also to replay our lives, I wouldn't want to replay it and rewind back. I'm happy to have walked the path that I've walked.
Yeah. No disrespect to Iceland, by the way. That was just I'm sure it's a beautiful place. Oh, yeah. I've never been.
There's a lot to
see there. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'd think, my parents, as the Windrush generation, they were strong people.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to think everything they went through and they came through the other end for us to path. We've got to remember, they did that for us to give us a better life. Even though they were struggling, they were still giving us a better life. And, you know, and we've just got to be proud of them, really, that we are here today because of them, because of that generation. And I think this is why when we have exhibitions, it's nice to highlight that, because in school we weren't taught that. You know, it was that hidden history that we was never taught.
Yeah.
So we didn't realise the impact that our parents' generation contributed into this country. So to celebrate it and to recognise it and to also have that Windrush Day, it is something that if my parents were alive today, they would be so honoured, you know. And so diverse a little bit. So with the Windrush scandal on top of it, it was just appalling. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, Theresa May in 2018 was Windrush Day started. And then 2019, I think it was Windrush Day, a national day, it actually launched. And then just a year before 2018, there was doing the scandal when they invited us to this country. So it's not like we came over, you know, they came and got us and said, come over. You know, after the war, you know, after World War II, after they fought in World War II, they've told them, come over, come and help us rebuild the country, you know, and just treat them like that, you know, to me was appalling. They should be getting medals. They should be getting, you know, the compensation should have been there from day dot. It should have been, right, claim it, you know. So, you know, that side of it, you know, I always say we deserve the good, the bad and the ugly in our history.
And
you know,
a lot happened with the Windrush generation, and
it's just sad.
And it's just, you know, some things are still kind of ongoing now, but hopefully there's the opportunity for others who still got questions and support that they need to you know, get. And I know that is available online and helplines.
It's interesting point you made, Gloria, about like just it wasn't just a contribution to transport, it was just public service in general. Like, don't forget the NHS.
They were the birth of NHS.
Yeah, because my nan was a nurse.
Mine too.
Yeah, yes. My nan was a nurse for 25 years at a place called Tooting Beck Hospital. It's not there anymore, but she was a nurse there for so long. So they made a massive contribution to transport and just to public service in general. And it was interesting because I was speaking to a guy called Leroy Logan. I'm sure he won't mind me saying, but he was a...
Leroy too.
You know Leroy. Yes, so Leroy was actually at the private viewing. And I was a bit starstruck when I met Leroy because he's just an incredible human being.
He really is.
And he's just done so much. And I've just seen him on so many like panels, you know, Question Time or what have you. Like, I think he likes to get his face about. But he's got an important story to tell. And I actually took the opportunity to just say to him, would you encourage people of colour to join the police force? And he said, absolutely, because if they don't, then it doesn't change. It doesn't change.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
And we make the change, don't we? And
exactly.
We can shy away from things, but it's important to stand up for who you are and call it out. If you're not happy with something, call it out and, you know, try to resolve it. Rather than going silent, things won't get better.
So talk about Leroy Logan. He's one of my main speakers. He comes and he's always, he was at our event 2 weeks ago. He did a special book club for us and he's going to come back again. So he's one of my regular that I invite.
That's amazing.
And he's so good. You know, he said, yeah, he goes, just let me know, put in my diary And then once he can make it, he will come.
Yeah.
So he should be coming back again. So
oh, good.
He'll be doing something for Black History Month.
Oh, that's great. And just for the future in the schooling system, as you mentioned, Gloria, that it was kind of a hidden subject. And I've seen news reports about Black history being taught in schools. I'm not too sure how far it's gone, but I can see that there's a lot of talk around this being introduced, but I'm not sure. Have you had any dealings with what's happening with that?
I know it's starting to be a curriculum, because I know they, I can't remember the MP, she spoke in Parliament about getting that as part of the curriculum, and I think they are going to start embedding in that,
yes,
which is good, you know, as a subject.
Is it Dawn Butler, possibly?
Yeah, it was Dawn Butler, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but so I know that is going on behind the scenes, that they are pushing that now as a curriculum, which is really good, because before they never used to, you know, because it's history that, whether, you know, good or bad, it needs to be told. And I think sometimes they shun from it because there's a lot of bad, but then a lot of good came out of it, because I think we're here today. So don't hide it. Just let us, you know, just tell the stories.
And it's best to know. And I do know quite a few people who have born in the Caribbean who was taught Black history. And they're surprised to have come to the UK and had not seen that in the curriculum as well. Like, no, this is normal in different countries, from Africa as well.
It's definitely changing. There was a lady who was at the private viewing, and she's a teacher. I forget her name now, but she's a teacher at an academy around Greenwich and Eltham. And I spoke to her afterwards, and she was telling me that they're trying to do more to teach Black history within her academy. So it's only, you know, it's a drop in the ocean, right? But it's a start. And so it is happening. And I think the more it happens, the more it will happen.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And the more we keep on keeping the strong narrative, the exhibitions, we've got all of the music artists. I know we've talked much about art today and museums, but it's about we've got the footballers, we've got public figures, we've got so rappers, singers, there's poets, there's so much going on in the industry, and it's a major subject, not just about Black history, but just people from the Black Afro-Caribbean culture who are at the forefront, who are talking about what they believe in and their vision in life.
Yeah. And what I want to see really is that Black History Month, we always do it on American Black History. I want to see us, and I've always said, even in our staff network that we're doing this year, and last year we did as well, we did British Black History of, you know, British descendants. And this is what we need to do, because there's a lot of people that don't realise how much we change England, like the Bristol bus boycott with the three... I can't remember his name, Hatchett. I can't remember the three guys. You see, I don't even remember these names. But, you know, but they were the ones that inspired the 1965 Race Equality Act, because they went and they marched, you know, and people don't realise that. So the same year that Martin Luther King took the knee was the same year that England had the boycott and brought in the act. And people don't realise, you know, these were both going on at the same time, because you always get just taught about the American history and not the English history. So it's nice to start bringing that in.
Yeah. Gloria, who was the lady that was, there was a lady that was at the media day, and she's a historian. She's written a book.
She wrote the book, Avril.
Yeah. I wanted to give her a plug, but I can't remember her surname now, because she
got her details, because she's contacted me, because I'm going to bring her to do one of our speaks.
Yeah, because she does walks, doesn't she?
Yeah,
she does.
Yeah.
She does like walks around London, where she would talk about, you know,
each area,
but the contributions that Black people have made to, you know, the culture in that area or the art in that area, whatever it may be. So it exists, and people are doing stuff in that space.
So I can see why you'd like the exhibition to live on, because there's so many stories to tell.
Yeah, because it doesn't stop there. Do you know what I mean? This is just the beginning, really, isn't it?
And we all have a story. But I really appreciate both of you coming to AJ Soundbooth today and sharing your stories. We've only touched the surface, because I know there's more in terms of the history. But I know that the listeners and viewers will really take what they can from this. And again, it's not just about listening. It's what you do with the information after you've listened. And it's about living out that legacy and supporting the vision, helping to spread the word, and working with one another to, you know, support one another in whatever our visions
are. Yeah.
Yeah. The one other thing I'd like to note, to say on Black History and on our books, I think it's for everyone, because they all seem to think Black History is just for Black people, but it's for everyone. Yeah. And the book should be for everyone. I want to see more Black books in the supermarket so they can pick up, because to learn sometimes is to read it. That's why we have book clubs, you know. So it's for everyone needs to know Black History, because we all know all the other histories. So everyone in that classroom should know Black History, not just for Black kids.
Couldn't agree more.
And we've got a generation of mixed race kids, you know, so come on, they need to know both sides of the coin. So they know their full identity, because if they go one way or the other, but they shouldn't, it should be shared.
There's a richness in education, isn't there?
Yeah, it should be a shared knowledge.
Exactly, yeah.
So they can be proud of both sides.
Definitely, I totally agree.
Before we finish, I just feel like we really need to plug the exhibition, because we haven't done it.
So
the exhibition is on at the London Transport Museum in Covent Garden. It's launched in February.
Yeah, February.
And it's on until, I think, kind of mid-2024. So everybody go and check it out. Spread the word. Tell your friends, because it's definitely worth a visit. There's so much to learn. And you'll definitely have a good time. So check it out.
Thank you. And the 17th of June as well, the late night.
Yes.
Carnival experience.
Oh, yes.
The Caribbean journey. But it's going to be a carnival experience. So it'll be learning to do some of the dances, do costumes, and really get involved.
That'll be really interesting. So when are we having a carnival this year?
We are.
That is going up then. That's a precursor for the carnival.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So I'm really excited now. Well, thank you so much for coming down to the studio and for sharing your stories too.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Pleasure.
Listen to AJ Soundbooth the podcast on Phoenix FM and other audio streaming services.